What's up, everybody? Good morning.
All right, I'm going to move this up here. That's cool.
Good to see y'all, man. It is a privilege to be here. Ben, man, this is incredible. I love this. We've been talking about this for a while, to be able to do this. I'm so glad that you're back from Ohio and that God brought you back to Pittsburgh, man. So it's an absolute privilege to be here today. Happy Father's Day to all you dudes out here. I brought my family. I got three daughters, so y'all can pray for me. Right? So Maddie's here, Ainsley's here, and our daughter Kalea is away at school doing digital filmmaking school. And I just love that we can be dads together. And man, it's awesome to have my wife Erica here as well. I want to tell you a story this morning. This isn't going to be so much of a sermon. This is going to be more of a story. A story of something that God has done in my life, and as a dad, one of the toughest decisions that I have ever had to make in my journey of what it means to follow Jesus. And so my hope is by sharing this story with you this morning that this will be an encouragement to dads, to guys, who when we get the pressure put on us and we got to make a tough decision, that man, it is so hard on us to do that. And I just want to tell you a story because God did something pretty wild in my life as I tried to follow him the best I can. I know that dudes out here, man, you're just trying to figure out how to follow Jesus just like everybody else, man. And you're doing a great job of that. The fact that you're here today, the fact that you are exploring faith, the fact that you're leading your family in faith, the fact that you are even in this building, great job. Well done. So I want to share a passage with you this morning that changed the trajectory of my life, my kids' life, my marriage. So it goes like this. Isaiah 43, 18 to 19 says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way." So today I just simply want to tell you the story of how I became the chaplain to the Pittsburgh Steelers, because if you would know me, if you'd hang out with me, you'd be like, really, that guy? And Ben will attest to that. So Erica and I, man, we do this together. She's the chaplain to all the ladies of the Steelers organization. I'm the chaplain to all the guys of the Steelers organization. And we met together. We both born and raised in Pittsburgh. We grew up. She's the east side. I grew up Beaver County with Ben. And we met together at Geneva College, Erica and I did. And ever since we met, we've been doing ministry together. And so 10 years as a youth pastor, we did youth ministry. And then 13, we did adult ministry in a great local church, Northway Christian Community. And it was year 10 of that particular role that something shifted in me as a man. Like, I don't know how to explain it other than the fact that, like, I just knew in my knower that God was up to something. Have you ever had that feeling? Like, something's coming. Something changed. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what's coming, but something shifted. And I like to say I knew in my knower that God was up to something, but I was really hesitant to chase it because the last time that I did something like that, it hurt. As a decision I made as a man, it hurt my family. It hurt a whole group of people around me, and I did not want to do that again. I didn't want to make that kind of decision, but at the same simultaneous time, I could not deny the fact that God was doing something new. And so I was torn because I was really comfortable in my role where I was. I had it good. It was a great position. And so I'm wondering if there might be anybody here today who's like that this morning. You're good. You're comfortable. But man, you can't deny that God's been up to something in your life. That something's happening. Maybe you're here this morning, you've been dating her a long time, and you know you want to go to the next level with her, right? But you're afraid to pop the question because you don't want to mess with the relationship because you're good. Maybe there are some of you here this morning, you're a businessman, businesswoman, right? And you have this idea that it's like it's in here, and you know you're supposed to do something. But you're hesitant to pitch that idea to your boss, right? Because you're good with that, you know, paycheck and that, you know, relationship with your boss, and you don't want to mess with it. You're good. You're comfortable. But you know something's up. Maybe you're here this morning, fellas, And you've been tiptoeing around the idea of really committing to Jesus, going all in for Jesus. Because here's why. You don't want to mess with the relationships that you got with other fellas. And you don't want to be that weird Christian guy in that circle. And so your relationships are good. You don't want to mess with it. Or maybe you're here this morning and you know as a Christian it's time for you to go public with your faith in Jesus and start sharing your faith. But man, you're comfortable with your neighborhood relationships. You don't want to be that person that they talk about. That dude's a weird Christian, right? You know what I'm talking about? You might be comfortable and you don't want to mess, but you know God's pulling you in a direction. So I don't know what it is for you today, but here's what I believe. God's going to continue to mess you up on the inside until you step into that new thing that he's telling you to do. He's going to keep messing you up. And we can clap, but here's the thing. Many of us get into trouble because we move into that new thing before God tells us to. And I'm speaking from experience here. I messed up. And so listen, we grab onto that first thing that comes along thinking, oh man, it's got to be this house. Right? You're all wholly discontent. You're frustrated and like, it's got to be this one. The person who applies next for the position. It's got to be that person because we just got to get this done, right? So we got to be patient here. And I'm speaking from experience because I messed up, but then some really key leaders in my life, some friends, they basically gave me this principle. Look at this coming up on the screen. God's timing is just as important as his direction. So this time around, I learned my lesson. I felt that feeling in my gut, in my knower, but this time I was going to wait for God's timing on it. And it just so happened, it was about 2 years into that frustration, in that waiting. Watch this. This is wild. The San Francisco 49ers, they traded their tight end to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that guy began to attend the church where I was pastor. His name is Vance McDonald. Now listen, Vance, Ben, you probably do this after services, man. Hey, if you're new with us here today at Bridge City, man, why don't you come up front? I'd love to meet you. Little gift like you just said, like something like that. So I said that at my church. And Vance McDonald made a beeline for me. He said, man, can we grab a cup of coffee? So being a Steelers fan my whole life, I was like, bro, I know who you are. Let's go. Let's grab a cup of coffee. And it was there for the first time that Vance, as he was brand new to the city, trying to figure out how to be a young dad, how to be a young father, brand new to a city, he said, man, I need somebody to come alongside of me because the Steelers don't have a chaplain right now. To which I was like, what's a chaplain do for the Steelers? Like, doesn't it make sense? Like, military chaplain, that makes sense. Hospital chaplain, makes sense. But what does an NFL chaplain do? I didn't have a category. But when he said that the Steelers didn't have a chaplain, something jumped in my knower. I was like, huh. I wonder if that's the new that God's trying to do in my life. But I questioned my motives. Like, was it just because I'm a Steelers fan? Was it just to get close to these guys? So, like, during this next season, y'all remember this picture? Take a look. This is Vance McDonald right here. Do you remember this, Steelers fans? Anybody? All right. This is the moment where Vance McDonald, he stiff-armed this dude. He's still in the stands of Tampa Bay. He stiff-armed it so hard, right? And he went for a touchdown. But I remember watching that all go down, and in my head, while the rest of Pittsburgh Steelers fans are going, yeah, touchdown, I'm going, I wonder if his little son saw that. And I was like, what is happening inside of me? I wondered, did Kendi, his wife, just see that? Like, is she at the game? So something was changing inside of me as I got to know him as a man, as a father, as a husband. Something was shifting inside of me. Now, I was still a fan, but I was thinking about him differently. So right after this season, this was Vance's best season in the NFL. Big Ben Roethlisberger threw so many touchdowns to Vance. It was an incredible season for him. But after that season, Vance came to me and he said, man, Steelers don't have a chaplain still. So would you consider doing a Bible study, discipling me and a few of the guys? And I was like, fire up, man, let's go. We met every week, studying the scriptures together. And it was there. Have you ever done this in a prayer request in a small group? You know, towards the end of your small group, we lay down the prayer requests. And Vance kept saying, we need to pray a chaplain into the Steelers. And every time we would pray, something would jump in my knower. And I was like, huh, I wonder if that's me. I wonder if this is the new that God's trying to do. But I couldn't get up the courage to ask him. So I'd go home to Erica and I'd say, I think this might be what I'm supposed to do. Wait, what do you think about it? Because I was questioning my motives. And so I eventually got up the courage and I went to Vance and I said, bro, are you dropping hints? Do you think that I'm the guy that could? And he's like, no, I didn't mean it that way. I just, because you're a pastor in the city, I didn't think you would have time and all this. And I explained, like, God's been messing with me, man. So I wonder if this is it. He goes, well, why don't we do this? Why don't I introduce you to Coach Tomlin? So either way, this was going to be awesome. Right? So I get to have lunch with Coach T. So the three of us, man, at the Steelers practice facility, he said, hey, man, why don't you? And I could tell he was vetting me. Like, what's this guy's motives? Who is he? Like, what's going on? So he invited me to come to OTAs, organized team activities, to hang out on the sidelines and see how I was interacting with the players and what were my motives and all of that. Then he invited me to come and preach at Minicamp Chapel. And I gave it with everything that I had, man. I preached Jesus with everything that I got in that Steelers chapel, right? And then I left that day. Coach T kind of walked me out into the parking lot, and he said he would be in touch. And a day went by, and nothing. 2 days, 3 days, nothing. 7 days, a whole week went by, nothing. I didn't hear anything. 10 days went by, nothing. And so I began to settle back into the confusion because I was obviously not the guy. Have you ever been there? Where you take a step of faith like that? Where you actually step out and you make your shot, right? You take the shot. But then there's that wait before your foot lands, and you're uncertain. Like, how many of you remember when you were the little kid at the high dive? Remember, you go out onto the edge of the diving board, and your knees are shaking like this. But then you actually do it, and then you're, like, instantly questioning your decision-making skills. Why did I do this? Before your feet hit the water, right? That was me. Like, why did I do this? See, and I believe that it's in these moments where we have to wait. As we're taking a step, we take the shot, we make the move, and we gotta wait. That this is where the enemy of our souls messes with us. He messes with our heads, he messes with our hearts, he messes with our families. And it's in these moments that you and I have a choice to make which voice we're gonna listen to. Are we gonna listen to the voice of truth of God who says we are enough? Even if it doesn't work out, we're enough that he loves us regardless. Or are we going to listen to the voice of the enemy who begins to whisper lies to us of, bro, you are obviously not wanted. Like, who do you think that you are to even think that you could do something like this? I mean, obviously you're not enough. You're not getting the call back, bro. So the confusion that I felt in that moment as a husband, as a dad, it was mounting to a boiling point, man. Have you ever had this moment where you're like, come on, God, where are you? And he's just silent. You don't feel him. You don't hear him. You're reading the Bible. You're going like, God, where the heck are you, man? I think together you remember this thing called COVID. Whereas as a whole community, we were having that moment of God, where are you? You could step in and you could obliterate this whole thing. Maybe you're out of work and you're saying, God, I got to provide for my family. I got stuff right now. I got bills to pay. I got things to do. God, where are you? I think we all have had that kind of God, where are you kind of moment, right? So while I was waiting to hear back, I still had a job to do. God, where are you? So I had to travel out to the West Coast to do a training for something that we were starting at my church, a discipleship experience. And so At this experience, the facilitators of the training, they sent us out on what they called a guided prayer experience. I don't know if you've ever done something like this before. Essentially, what happened is they said, okay, just follow along in your guide. Open it up, and on the top of it was a verse. And then from that verse, you were to write out your prayers to God. I had never done something like this before, specifically like that. So I went and found a great place in the middle of sunny California. It was awesome. And so I go, and I open up the guide, and this passage, Isaiah 43, the one that I just read for you, not that one, but the previous. But I open up my Bible, and I open up God's word, and it said, see, I'm doing a new thing. To which immediately I was mad. I was like, I know you are, but what is it? That'd be good. I'd like that. So we were instructed to then write out our prayers to God. So I just want to be vulnerable with y'all this morning. And here's exactly what I wrote to God in my prayer journal. Here it is. God, I'm trying to discern the new that you are doing in my life. Is it at Northway? That's the church. Is it with the Steelers? Is it with both of them? Is it something else completely different? Because either way, God, I need clarity. So I lay all of this down at your feet because I'm anxious. Any dudes anxious here today? I'm anxious to know what you want for me and my family and my church family. You may have something else entirely in mind, but I can sense that you've been up to something new for a long time in my life. You can hear the frustration in there, right? Whoo! I was kind of letting God have it. So I put the pen down and I go on to the next passage in the prayer guide, and it was this passage, Ezekiel 37, 1 through 9. Don't put it up there just yet, fellas. Yep. This is the Valley of Dry Bones. And if you've ever read this passage before, man, it's powerful. And I don't have the time to, like, explain the whole thing this morning, but essentially here's what it is. God said to Ezekiel in a vision, Ezekiel, I want you to say exactly what I tell you to say. And so Ezekiel said it, and boom, a supernatural move of God began to take place. And then God said, okay, I saw that you said it. Now I want you to do exactly what I tell you to do. And Ezekiel did it, and boom, another supernatural move of God began to take place. And so this passage of Scripture, here it is, fellas, put it up now. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, that I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. Now, I don't know how to fully explain this next part to y'all, but I could just tell as I was reading the Scriptures that God was speaking to me. So I picked up my pen, and I started writing this in my journal. God, speak. Your servant is listening. And I closed my eyes so that I could focus in on his voice. And I heard God speak. Now listen, whenever I used to go to church when I was a kid and guys like me would come up front and take a mic, I'm a guest in the church, and I heard God speak, instantly as a dude I was like, come on, man. Now listen, let me try to explain this. I have never heard God speak audibly. Thus saith the Lord to Kent Chevalier. It was never like that. I never heard it like that. But in this moment, all of a sudden, there was a phrase here. In my nowhere. Like I wasn't thinking about it before. But all of a sudden, something dropped right here and I couldn't get it out of my head. And so I wrote down, because my heart was beating fast. I could tell, like, this was different. And God was speaking to me. So here's what I wrote down. I felt like God was saying to me in that moment, here it is. Kent, settle down. Do what I say to do when I tell you to do it. Nothing more, nothing less. That way you know it's me. So, man, I wrote that down fast. And at that very moment, I knew something was about to break through in my 3-year waiting period since I ever felt that. And so here's what I wrote to God. God, I've got a great thing going with my church. I'm just wondering what you're doing with the Steelers chaplain role. And then I asked God a question. I said, am I initiating this? Because if so, I'll lay it down and I will continue to wait for you. Man, I want to speak to you this morning. How many of us know that when we initiate something, we have to sustain it in our own strength, in our own ideas, in our own resources? But when God initiates something, He permeates it with His presence, with His provision, with His power, with His ideas. And that's what I wanted for my family. So I said, God, you know what? If I'm initiating this, I lay it all down. And as soon as I asked God that question over the loudspeaker, the facilitator said, prayer experience is over. Would you come back into the room and all this stuff? And as I gathered up my things to get ready to go, I kid you not, because here's the power of prayer journaling. I wrote down the time that this happened. 10:24 a.m. California time, Coach Tomlin texted me. Can you grab lunch in the next few days to talk about the chaplain position? I'll never forget, man, my hands were trembling as I called my wife, Erica, and I said, I think I'm about to become the chaplain to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's go, right? Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Coach Tomlin didn't offer me the job. He just wanted to talk. But I knew something was happening in that moment, right? So I knew this. So I went to lunch with Coach Tomlin. It was awesome, man. He, as a faith-filled man, he laid out his vision for the chaplain role for his team. And he said, man, I would love for a Pittsburgh couple to pastor this team. And I was like, Erica and I get to do this together? Like, I didn't have a category. This is awesome. And then he said, man, I'd love for the guy to lead Bible studies for the coaches. Separate Bible study for the players. I would love his wife to lead Bible studies for the players' wives and girlfriends. Bible studies for the coaches' wives. And if that couple could do a couples ministry with the young players and their wives or girlfriends. And I loved everything that I was hearing coming out of Coach T's mouth in that moment. Until he said this. That position is not hired by the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I would like for you to consider joining the staff of Athletes in Action. And as soon as he said that, I knew exactly what that meant. Because I've known people that work for Athletes in Action, which if you don't know what Athletes in Action is, it's a sports ministry of the organization Crew, a missions organization, formerly known as Campus Crusade for Christ. And I knew that all those people, they had to raise their full-time salaries. They had to raise all their benefits. They had to raise their full-time, you know, ministry budget for the year. And in my mind at that point, I shut it all down. I was like, nope. Think about it. I'm a dude. I'm a dad. Have you ever had, like, where you're talking with somebody and you're in conversation with them, but your head is not in the conversation. You're thinking about something else. I'm the only one who does this. All right, so I'm, as Coach T is talking, I'm having a conversation with God as a dad. And I'm going, okay, God, like, there's no way that you want me to step away from a secure income, a secure position. I got daughters, man, three teenage daughters that I'm staring college right in the face, man. This is pressure on me. I don't know if this would be wise, God, for me to do. I got weddings in the future that I got to financially prepare for as a dad. And man, this whole time, like, you got to be kidding me that you want me to step away from that to become a full-time missionary? There's got to be another way, God. Coach Tomlin's still talking the whole time. I don't know what he said, but I'm having a conversation with God. And very quickly in that moment, do you see where my internal reaction as a dad was revealing where I was placing my trust? Watch this. My trust was not fully in the God that I've been preaching for 25 years. My trust was in a paycheck. My trust was in a position. My trust was in me providing for my family. And I say that out loud as a pastor, and I get embarrassed by that. But here's the thing. I'm gaining confidence to know that I'm not the only one here. Anybody else feeling that? As a dad? See, as the meeting ended with me agreeing with Coach Tomlin, because that's what you do, because he's Coach Tomlin. It's hard to say no to that dude. The meeting ended with me agreeing to speak to the leadership of Athletes in Action and continuing down the search process. And I was cordial with Coach T, but in my mind, I'm shutting it all down. I went home to Erica, and I said, hey, here's the deal, and we were both shutting it down in our minds. Bottom line, everybody, I was afraid. I was afraid to step out like something like that. But here's the thing. I gave Coach T my word. And I said, man, okay, we'll continue down, but I don't want to do this, really. So Erica and I, we agreed together as a couple we would fast and pray. God, is this you? And so during the warmer months in Pittsburgh, man, my wife, she does her quiet time, her devotions, Bible reading out on the back patio of our home. And I do mine inside. I got my chair. And that morning, I'll never forget it. Kent, get out here. And I'm like, what? You know, my wife, man, if she does something like that, you know it's serious. So I come out, and I kid you not, everybody. Next to her, she's frozen in fear. Next to her, the fern is moving. And so my immediate thought was, that's a snake. But I got a man up in this moment. So I go out to the yard and I get a stick. And so I like inch over to the fern. She's frozen here. And I'm like in front of her, like going like this. And as soon as I got close to the fern, a bird flew out. And I open up the fern and inside of it, there was a baby bird's nest. And there were unhatched eggs. But over the next couple of weeks, as we had time to make the decision, those eggs, they hatched. And we could hear the birds inside the nest, you know, feed me, whatever they sound like, you know. but there were daddy bird was up on the, you know, the light pole, and mom was bringing them something to eat. And daddy's up here like chirping at us, don't mess with my kids, you know, stuff like that. But all of a sudden, in our minds and in our hearts, the words of Jesus came to us. Look at this. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than a bird? And so as we were praying, as we were walking down this process, you can see that God was taking us to school about what we were trusting in this life. And God began to shift our heads and our hearts to practice what we've been preaching all of these years. To follow Jesus, no matter what the cost. And to trust in this principle. Take a look. When God guides, He always provides. Always. And so together, we decided to put our feet and our family where our mouth had been all these years. And we took the step. Please watch this, especially dudes. With fear, fighting our faith. See, just because you got faith doesn't mean you're not going to be afraid. It just means that, I'm going to step in the face of fear because I trust Him more. Doesn't mean you're not going to do hard things. And so we agreed together that even though we were afraid, we were going to step out. And so we flew out to Colorado because that's where we needed to go to sign on the dotted line to become, you kidding me, full-time missionaries. We did it. We stepped out. But to be really honest with you, we were freaking out. And so that night, dads, check this out, husbands, that night after we signed on the dotted line, Erica locked herself in the hotel bathroom, and here's what I hear. And as a dude, I'm going, what am I doing? The pressure on my wife, the stress, it was not a good night. And I didn't know, like, what was happening. And I woke up the next morning, and my wife was gone. Now, here's the thing. I know, that's what I was thinking. So I didn't know that she had gone, and I don't know how, ladies, you deal with stress. But my wife, the way she deals with stress is she goes for a run. But I didn't know that she went. So I got all kinds of thoughts as a husband in my mind, like, what did I do, you know? But here, and if you know my wife, she's not an emotional person. And she told me after all this, I don't know what's going on, but she, as she was running, she kind of broke down, crying out to God. And she said, God, I don't want to be that person that puts the fleece out. But man, I need something to confirm that you're in this, because I'm freaking out on the inside. I need you to be very specific, God, in answering a prayer. Like, I need confirmation that this is the right move. I didn't know any of this was happening. She comes back, and she had coffees for us. We go then to the last session for the training that we could be a part of with Athletes in Action. And so now I want you to imagine something. Have you ever been in a worship service? I don't know if you've ever done this here, where there is a painter who's painting. While the music is going, there's worship, and a painter is painting. Okay, imagine this. All the missionaries were together from Campus Crusade for Christ. 6,000 plus missionaries gathered at Colorado State University. And in the basketball court, there is a round stage underneath the giant jumbotron. And there's missionaries on every side, and we're on the ground floor, and we're just worshiping. And we notice on the other side of the round stage that there's a painter furiously painting while we're all singing in worship like we just did. And we couldn't see what it is that he was painting, because the back of the canvas was what we could see, and the camera on the jumbotron was specifically not showing what it is that he was painting. And so as the music begins to die down, the camera intentionally now pans back, and what do you think he painted? Take a look. And Erica and I just looked at each other, and we were like, but man, we also left that day confident. Like, let's go, because we know God's got our back in this. How specific and how good is God, our Father, that he would answer her like that? Come on, God is good. So I'm almost done here, and the reason that I wanted to share this story with you today is this. Especially dudes, I wonder if there might be someone here today who's grown too comfortable. And you're trusting in a paycheck, you're trusting in a position, you're trusting in a person instead of God. And you know that God's been calling you to step out into something, but man, you're just hesitating. Be honest. You've stalled out. You've walked away from that dream. You've squashed the idea because someone said it's just too risky. It doesn't make logical sense that you would do something like that. But man, you know in your knower that God's been telling you to do it. So I believe Ben invited me here today to encourage somebody to do it afraid. Take a look. Do it afraid. See, man, you've been dating her too long. Let's go. Time to pop the question. Do it afraid. Businessman, businesswoman, it is time for you to pitch that idea to your boss. Do it afraid. If you're a Christian in the room, a Christ follower, it is time for you to share your faith with your neighbor. Do it afraid. Man, it is time for us to have uncomfortable conversations with people who do not look like us or act like us. Do it afraid. Man, if you've been tiptoeing around following Jesus and you're not sure if you want to be all in with Jesus, it's time for you to give your life to Jesus. Do it afraid. And Bridge City, here's what I believe, knowing Ben for so long. It is time for us to do something big for God here in the Brighton Heights area. Do it afraid. See, I believe that God's looking for men and women who will step out in bold faith. I'm believing that God, that as guys, we would step out in bold faith, especially in the culture of which we are living today. See, I believe that there's some new things that God is calling his church to do. Remember, he said, forget the former things, but he didn't say they're bad. He just said, I'm doing a new thing. Can't you perceive it in this culture? Can't you perceive it in this wilderness and in this waiting? So I don't know what the new is for you today. I don't know what God's calling you to do, but here's what I know about God. He's going to make a way for you. He will provide for you. His presence will go before you. His hand will be upon you. So the question that I want to leave you with today is this. Will you follow Jesus' example and do it afraid? Let me explain. See, when Jesus saw the path to the cross, he asked his Father in prayer, is there any other way? And when God, his Father, answered his prayer, you know what God the Father said because he's a good father? He said, no. See, many of us in the American church today, we are being discipled to think that when God answers our prayers, it's always affirmative for us. It's good for us, right? It's the best thing for us, right? It's what I want. And I'm telling you, God told his one and only Son, no, because he loved him and he loves us. And so when Jesus saw the path to the cross, he said, okay, not my will, but yours be done. And I'm going to go through it. And he did, man. He went through the pain and the agony, and he died a gruesome death. But 3 days later, he rose from that grave. And I believe here God's calling someone today to join Jesus in that kind of trust, in that kind of faith, and do it afraid, just like Jesus, because God's going to use you to resurrect someone's life, not because of you, but you're going to introduce them to Jesus. Someone's going to use you. God's going to use you to resurrect someone's marriage because he wants you to introduce them to Jesus, who can reconcile relationships. He's going to use you to uniquely do your part. The question is, will you? See, here's the thing. I came to believe in my faith that God was going to give me some strategic upfront plan, like 5-year plan. But that's not the way that God works. And so I believe that I came here today to simply tell you this. He's going to give you enough light to take the next step. So, 3 things. Trust God. He loves you. He's a good father. Follow Jesus' example, his one and only son, by doing it afraid. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for Bridge City. Thank you for my good buddy, Ben. God, thank you of what it is that you are doing in and through this church. And I pray right now that, God, that you would give us the courage to follow you in your example. Give us the courage, whatever it is that we know in our knower that's from you, that we would step into it and trust you with everything that we got. Thank you for Bridge City, God. I pray blessing over this church in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Thank you for this morning.
I didn't